2018.
Good morning and welcome to True Talk. Listen to this interesting show today. We're going to be talking with Murtaza Muhammad Hussein. He works with The Intercept. He's covering the Noor Salman trial in Orlando. There are so many things going on that I will be opening the phone lines to get your feedback. But listen to this song. It's called Sara and it's by Reem Benna. Reem Benna is a Palestinian singer. We had her on the show about 8 years ago. And a few years after that interview, I went to Nazareth, where she is from the north of Palestine, and met her. And sadly, Reem passed away this past Saturday. This is a song called Sara, and it's about a Palestinian who was killed and shot by an Israeli soldier.
وكانت ضحكتها تغطي سماء فلسطين. كانت ساراي تدرج أولى خطواتها على تراب فلسطين. وكانت ضحكتها تغطي فلسطين. غافلها القناص بطلقة في الرأس، في رأس سارة الصغير. غافلها القناص بطلقة في الرأس، في رأس سارة الصغير.
welcome back to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. And on the phone, I have with me Murtaza Hussain, who is a journalist with The Intercept. And Murtaza has been writing about the trial of Noor Salman that is taking place in Orlando. Actually, I think they just finished and the jurors are deliberating and they can come out with a verdict any minute, maybe even as we speak now. Good morning, Murtaza.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I hope you're feeling better. Murtaza is under the weather, so we're not going to be taking too much of his time. Can you tell us a little bit a background of who is Noor Salman before we start talking about the trial?
Noor Salman is the wife of Omar Mateen, who carried out the Pulse shooting in 2016. She's currently on trial for material support in relation to the events of that night.
And can you tell us why did she end up being on trial rather? I mean, her husband, of course, died in the shootout with the police, but why did she end up being on trial herself?
Well, that's a good question, because normally in these mass shootings, it's not the case that the spouse or family members fall under suspicion. In the hours after the attack, she was detained with her child by the FBI, and they questioned her for almost 24 hours. And during that time, she signed a statement saying that she had foreknowledge of the attack. Now, later on, from the FBI's own investigation, it became clear that she could not have had foreknowledge, or at least the statement she made in the statement could not have been true, because she had confessed to things in that statement which were not possible. Metadata on her phone showed that she had never been to Pulse before, they'd never been on any scouting trip. And so the basis of her charging now is a confession which the FBI itself knows is false. So it's very strange why she's on trial now. And I think the most likely explanation is this is a politically motivated prosecution to try to punish somebody for this terrible attack, given that Omar Mateen himself is dead.
Now, when the government was presenting the case, or at least how it presented the case to the media as well as to the judge himself, they never mentioned, for instance, that Omar Mateen's father was working as an informant for the FBI for 11 years. Is that something that they wanted to hide? And I think another thing that came out during the cross-examination was the fact that the FBI agent who went to meet with Omar Mateen because he had trouble with at his work tried to recruit him. So do you think the government is trying to cover up something here? Maybe as simple as mishandling Omar Mateen case.
The government did not reveal that Omar Mateen's father was an FBI informant. They also did not reveal that they knew that the supposed scouting trip that Noor Salman took with Omar Mateen, the Pulse, never occurred. So they hid a number of things from the defense, which is why the defense attempted to have the case thrown out over the past week. The judge denied that request, but it's absolutely clear that the government had hid a lot of things in this investigation. Omar Mateen's father was a long-time informant of the FBI, and when the FBI first investigated Omar Mateen in 2015, based on statements he made to co-workers, it seems entirely possible that his father's connections to law enforcement helped kill the investigation and allowed him to escape scrutiny at that time.
Also, I think another thing I remember when this thing was happening, like after the Pulse shooting, in a few days and weeks, people kept saying that maybe Omar Mateen was gay, but because he was a Muslim and comes from a conservative family, that he could not say that, and for some reason he went to the Pulse nightclub, which was for gay people, and took revenge. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But in cross-examination, the truth was so different. Can you tell us a little bit about what the defense was able to dig out of the case?
There was a lot of misreporting in the days immediately after the attack. People claimed that Omar Mateen had been to Pulse before, that he was closeted himself. His father also suggested that. The FBI later found that there's no evidence he has been repulsed. There's no evidence he ever used any of the apps to meet men. In fact, he'd been cheating on his wife with numerous women, and all the claims that he'd had relationships with other men quietly were deemed to be not credible. So there's no evidence that he was closeted. And the fact is that when an event like this happens, the initial reports, even if they're false, tend to anchor a certain narrative of the story, which is very difficult to unanchor unless the government makes an effort to try to change the narrative. But they didn't, because the current narrative that this was an anti-LGBT attack, hate crime, is useful to the government, useful to the prosecution in this case.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF, and I'm talking to Murtaza Hussain, who is covering the case of Noor Salman. Noor is the widow of Omar Mateen, who killed 49 people in Orlando at a nightclub called Pulse. Now, Noor Salman, I read Murtaza, and I'm not sure how accurate this is, has a very low IQ. And the defense mentions that. How is this related to the whole case?
Noor Salman was seriously abused by Omar Mateen, and she was evaluated by a psychologist who showed high levels of trauma consistent with domestic abuse. She also has a low IQ, as you mentioned, and this is relevant to the case mainly because the government's narrative is that she is a mastermind of this. The lack of evidence actually is a result of her deliberately and very effectively concealing or faking her lack of knowledge about the attack. So, in effect, you know, for the narrative being portrayed about her to be true, the fact of a low IQ and high degree trauma, it does not definitively disprove it, but certainly makes it much more unlikely. It makes it much more curious that the government is taking this argument.
So, she could get life without parole? Do you know if there is a guilty verdict? What is the sentence? What's expected?
It's at the judge's discretion, ultimately, the sentence that she receives. The jury can make a recommendation, but she's looking at potentially a very lengthy sentence. And we know in terrorism cases, there's not a track record of judges giving leniency to those involved. And this is a terrible crime that was committed by Omar Mateen, and the fact is that someone's going to be held responsible. I predict that they're going to be held responsible for a very long time. Just in the actual evidence, they were not guilty. And maybe in Noor's case, she's actually a victim of Omar Mateen as well.
So there isn't any concrete evidence that she knew what he was planning, or that both of them actually never went to the Pulse or drove around it. There is zero evidence, for instance, to prove that she was watching these websites that he was watching, like one time he went to ISIS and different things. But still, the government was able to waste our tax money and have this whole trial be put. I mean, how is this possible?
It just shows how difficult it is politically to litigate these terrorism trials, because it's hard to get a fair trial in the U.S. on these charges. There's almost 100% conviction rate in federal court on terrorism cases. Even in cases like this where the evidence is so grievously lacking. So I don't see how she could be convicted just on the merits, but I wouldn't be surprised if she was convicted, because that's the purpose of these trials. They're effectively rubber stamping these convictions. And the lack of evidence is not surprising in some ways.
I read yesterday that the jurors requested something from the judge. I can't remember what exactly it was, but they needed more clarification. They needed examples, and the judge refused. Do you know, Murtaza?
I don't think I asked for extra time to litigate. I can't remember every request. There's been a few of them, but technically, the more information they ask for, the longer it takes. It could be in their interest, but we have to wait to see what the ultimate response will be.
Yeah, I think it was to clarify abetting, aiding and abetting. Like, what does aiding and abetting mean? And the judge said, no, I can refer you to other cases, but I'm not going to give you examples of what it is. So do you think, what is the makeup of the jury? Is it mainly men, women? Are there any minorities? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I think it's mostly white, but I'm not sure.
I think there is one Hispanic and four women or five women. And is it true that they got some of his, what they call them, girlfriends, like he had while he was married, to testify?
We had a number of acquaintances of his, people known him personally, friends, former relationships. This was to try to flesh out the narrative about what really took place and who he really was. And yeah, they did.
Murtaza?
Hello?
Yeah, I thought we got disconnected or something. There is somebody on sent me an email saying that there might be a verdict coming soon. Do you know if it's going to...
No, I don't know.
Okay, I want to thank you, Murtaza, for being on True Talk, and I hope you will be feeling much better.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so this was Murtaza Hussain. He has a terrible cold. He's been covering the Noor Salman case. And I have Daniel, who just sent me an email. David, he says, if I click on this, I might be able to have the latest on Noor. Oh, it reached a verdict. Let's see. Okay, I'm trying to connect after we skip this ad. Okay, let me put DJ.
Able to help tell the story that the defense wanted to get out. Experts are always, whether it's for the government or the defense, they're always sort of hired voices, and that's difficult. But he was able to really bring home the defense theory that her statement was really suggested to her and not given from her, which goes to the heart of the defense case.
Okay. Any other defense witnesses that stand out for you?
A lot of them were fairly, you know, just trying to get out their story of that she was simple and sweet.
Yeah.
And so does that really undermine the credibility of the government's case or build the defense case? I think it built their case more than really it hurt anything with the government.
You know, the one who really impacted me was one of Noor Salman's best friends who flew in from California. Grew up with her. Their families are very close. And she talked about how the afternoon before the Pulse shooting, that Saturday afternoon, Nord had called her and been so enthusiastic about, hey, Omar got us tickets to come to California, which kind of suggested that Nord really believed that was going to happen. At this point, because we're getting closer to knowing the verdict, let's reset a little for people who might just be joining us what we're waiting for. We got the 30-minute warning at about, I think it was 20 till, that we do have a verdict in this case, and we're waiting to hear. So what's going to happen in court now?
The jury will come back.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF, and I was talking to one of the reporters who was covering the Noor Salman case trial, and David from cyberspace, thank you so much. He sent me a link saying that in few minutes we're going to be hearing the verdict. So what you were listening to is live coverage of the last moments before the reporters and all of us know what is going on with the verdict. So stay tuned, keep listening. This is True Talk on WMNF, and I am going to a live feed at the moment.
And for a jury with enough pressure on them already, that's helpful, and I'm sure they appreciated that.
Yeah. Will he poll the jurors?
He will.
He will.
Yeah.
So they each have to say that...
They speak individually and collectively. Typically, the verdict as a whole is announced first, and then the jury will be polled individually to announce what their verdict is.
You know, we're always interested as journalists in hearing from any jurors who are willing to talk, and we were told by a court official yesterday that the judge will let them know. You are free to talk to the media now that this is over, if you choose to, but I don't believe there's going to be any sort of availability where they're brought out to speak to us, because we have seen that happen
sure.
in other trials. But I'm sure this has been a sacrifice for them, but also maybe an interesting experience.
And typically, you know, jurors, they never want to sit, but once they're selected and they hear a verdict or reach a verdict, they tend to find the process much more rewarding looking back than looking forward. And so, you know, people, no matter what, find fault with jury verdicts. But this jury, you watched them, I watched them, they were very diligent. They were very attentive. They took probably a couple notebooks of notes. They really paid attention, and you could tell they were taking it seriously.
Yeah, and it was 6 men and 6 women in the end. It was interesting that it was an even split. And of course, there were alternates, but they were released prior to deliberations. So, you know, at this point, we may have a verdict, but we don't know because everybody's
nobody's
in the courtroom
running out
with
yet.
No electronics. So we could be hearing any moment now. But David, what did you think of the fact that the jury did ask a couple of questions? Oh, do we have a verdict?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm being handed my phone. I thought you were implying we had a verdict.
I'm sorry.
All right, and you're checking your phone.
I was checking mine.
This is live TV, guys. And it is interesting to deal with a situation where the people who are where the action is happening have no ability to communicate.
Right.
Yeah. But what was I starting to ask you? You know, you were mentioning that the judge did an excellent job sort of setting up how all of this was run. And I can say in my experience covering big trials, Casey Anthony, George Zimmerman, I feel like this one was handled just so professionally and smoothly. Not that the others weren't, but Judge Byron really is on top of things.
He's got a wealth of experience. He is a former federal prosecutor himself. He prosecuted also cases internationally.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM. And we kind of going live with the rest of the stations in Florida because we expect a verdict on the Noor Salman trial. She is the widow of Pulse gunman Omar Mateen. And the jurors have reached a verdict. And any minute, let me go back.
Both counts.
Any minute, we will be knowing the result.
Has been found not guilty. She has been exonerated, both on the charge that she helped her husband plan the Pulse shooting and on the federal obstruction of justice charge, not guilty. That means she will be a free woman.
She is free.
Okay, my heart's pounding a little. It's been a month leading up to this.
It's been a year and a half.
yes.
You know, I said it was likely because the government, but in the back, as we've talked, the government, you know, that they... The missing piece was it's not your normal aiding and abetting where she's there and active. And believe you, when it's not guilty. Am I surprised? A little bit. Am I shocked? Not necessarily.
Okay, and you're not shocked because perhaps the evidence connecting the dots just wasn't there.
And there were some leaps. I mean, look, they had a written confession, so to speak. There were issues with that. There was obviously a lot of information about what she did leading up.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF, and Noor Salman is free. Noor Salman did not aid and abet her husband. She had no clue what he was planning. She cannot be held responsible for a crime committed by her husband. This is at least what I got out of here. This is live news developing now. I know that the media cannot enter the room, but somebody, I think, representing the family came out and told the reporters in the amazing verdict. As you were listening, she is not guilty. Amazing jury system. You know, when I was tweeting yesterday and the past 3-4 days about this case, and people were telling me, oh, you talk about democracy and you talk about democracy in America, how can they set up this poor woman? She has very low IQ. She has nothing to do with being guilty by association. Well, alhamdulillah, there is a legal system and there is a due process. And yes, the government can wrong people, but we do have a judicial system that is still independent. Let's go back and listen in to this coverage. If you want to call in, 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. If you have any comments about the Noor verdict, she is exonerated. She is free to go. They were going to put her in prison for the rest of her life. She has a 3-year-old boy. Alhamdulillah, she's going to go back to her son. Noor, of course, was born in the U.S. and her husband, too. Listen to whatever this breaking news is. And if you have comments, send them to dj@wmnf.org. dj@wmnf.org. And I want to thank Dave and Brian for sending me the link. We go back to live feed
you know,
now.
no matter what, even though the system may have let people down, this is the system, and you got to have a tremendous amount of respect for the weight that these jurors felt.
Yeah. I'm peeking over there. So the front steps to the courthouse are where we're going to start seeing people come out. And if you're just joining us, I just want to state again, Noor Salman, the widow of Pulse shooter Omar Mateen, has been completely exonerated, found not guilty on both charges. And so there certainly is going to be a lot of reaction to this. We'll be waiting to see some of the key players come out of the courthouse. I think we're definitely going to hear from the defense team. Obviously, they are going to be jubilant. Also from Noor Salman's family, they've spoken with us pretty much every day. Okay, sorry, folks. My producer was talking to me. Greg Fox was in court for the announcement of the verdict, and also my colleague Hadass Brown, and I think we're going to go to them right now.
All right, Amanda, I don't think we have them ready to go just yet. But again, as you've been watching our live coverage from outside the courthouse, we've been getting a little bit of analysis here. Now, as just moments ago, we learned Noor Salman has been found not guilty on all counts. The charges against her included aiding and abetting the provision of material support to a foreign terror organization. She was found not guilty. And for the obstruction of justice charge, she was found not guilty. And we've heard a little bit of analysis here. We want to get to this press briefing right now. We're hearing from some of the key players involved in this trial. Let's listen in now as some of the attorneys are coming up to the microphones.
Their verdict, and we appreciate all of their hard work and thank them for their service in this case. Thank you very much.
No question, tell us where you feel like the case
for the court. Mr. Hurd, from the prosecution, as the prosecutors were addressing the media, making a brief statement, basically thanking the jurors for their service in this trial.
Yes, and we want to check in now with our Greg Fox, who was in the courtroom and heard that verdict. Greg, what can you tell us about this moment?
Well, first of all, I can tell you that there was a lot of gasping. There was a lot of noise. It was especially coming from the defense table. Remember, going into this, they essentially, at the start of the trial, had decided not to keep a camera or even an easy view of Noor Salman's face during all of this. But the audio really said it all as those verdicts came in. Not guilty of providing material support, not guilty of providing the attempted material support of a terrorist organization, and not guilty of obstruction of justice, essentially lying to investigators in this case. In the hallway, just minutes after that, her defense attorney, Charles Swift, said, "We'll be down after the prosecution is. Losers talk first." That was his only comment. I asked him if she was going to be processed out of the federal courthouse today. He said that that may happen. He wouldn't verify that that would happen, and he wouldn't explain how that would happen. But at some point, as we heard earlier, relatives of Noor Salman said that as soon as they could, as soon as possible after the verdict, they were going to take her back to her home state of California. But again, a lot of strong emotions in there. Charles Swift's face was red with emotion, knowing that he had won this case. As you may have seen just a second ago, as we showed you the prosecution coming down, giving basically a 10-second statement that the case is over and they're moving on and they wouldn't have anything else to say.
All right, from Greg Fox, now we want to go to our Bob Hazen. He was in that courtroom. Bob, just paint the picture for us. What was it like moments ago as we heard that verdict?
Well, as soon as the jury walked in today to give their verdict, Noor Salman was sitting in the courtroom. She stood up when they walked in, had her head down, wasn't looking at the jury. But then as soon as the verdict started being read, you could tell she had her head on her hand. She was sitting there looking at the judge and the jury at the same time. And as soon as the word came out, not guilty, she started shaking. You could see her body kind of shaking in her hand. She put it to her face, and you could see it just quivering as she put it up there. And you couldn't, we were behind her, so we couldn't see her facial expressions. But her family, which was in the row right in front of me, they all almost jumped out of their seats. They literally did lift off the seat a little bit, all hugging each other, crying. You could hear them, as Greg said, gasping when this verdict came out. Then you could see eventually, when Noor Salman was able to turn around, once all three not guilty verdicts were read, she turned around. Her face was covered in tears. She had this shocked look on her face, look of happiness, of course, but she was still shaking, hugging her attorneys. All of her attorneys then got up and started hugging each other as well and fist pumping. And so then they eventually were able to go outside, and as they walked outside, we could hear Charles Swift, as Greg said, say losers goes first as far as the U.S. attorney speaking out here. He also said that he was going to be speaking out here very shortly. We haven't seen him out here just yet, but that Noor Salman herself will not be speaking today. She was taken out of the courtroom with the courtroom deputies. We don't know exactly what the status is of when she'll be able to get out, but we have been told at times past that she would have to go through the processing to get out of the jail where she's being, where she has been held throughout this trial, because she has not been allowed out on bail since early in this case. So she is not going to be speaking out here, we don't believe, at least not today, but her attorneys are expected to be coming out here very shortly. And as I mentioned, it was just this shaking. She couldn't believe the fact that she had just heard the words that she's been waiting for this entire trial. Now, of course, there was victims' family members in the courtroom as well. Didn't really see any emotion coming from them at all. They all seemed like they were controlled themselves very well when this verdict was read. No outward signs of any outpouring of emotion from them. Really, just coming from the family, the family of Noor Salman, how relieved they were to actually get this word that they've been waiting for, not guilty on all three counts. Back to you guys.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF, and I wanted to thank David for sending me a link to live feed of the verdict of Noor Salman. She is the widow of Omar Mateen, who killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub. The government put a case against her rather than against itself, because it messed up this case from the beginning. We found out that his father was an FBI informant for 11 years, that the FBI tried to recruit Omar Mateen rather than investigate him further because he was deemed dangerous by his colleagues. He was working in a security company, and the FBI tried to recruit him. Maybe they kept trying to recruit him and pushed him, like how sometimes the FBI likes to entrap people. We don't really know what happened, but then 7 months later, they go after his poor wife, who has a very low IQ, who has not been involved whatsoever with his violence, and the fact that she was herself abused by Omar Mateen, is a victim herself. The verdict, well, alhamdulillah, thank God, is totally innocent. She is found innocent at all. I'm not sure how many cases were against her. Let's go to the live feed. We are expecting her lawyers to come out. One of her lawyers is Linda Moreno. I'm not sure if this name is familiar to you, but she is one of the lawyers of Dr. Sami Al-Aryan, who endured probably 10 years of the government trying to say he is guilty. Let's listen. I think a representative of the family is now going to be talking.
In soon fashion, or potentially a few hours later this afternoon, or maybe even tomorrow. We don't know that yet, but we're waiting for the defense to come down. Charles Swift, Linda Moreno, they have been the primary attorneys on this case. You'll know Linda Moreno really handled the jury selection in this process, and apparently, given the results today, they did a good job in picking jurors that apparently saw the more sympathetic side in Noor Salman. Remember, in the closing arguments, the government characterizing Noor Salman as cold and callous in helping her husband to kill 49 people inside the Pulse nightclub and injure at least 68 other people. The defense calling her simple, naive, someone who was a battered wife, someone who couldn't possibly have known the scheme that was being concocted by Omar Mateen. And obviously the jury believed that presentation in returning a not guilty verdict on both counts of this case, the aiding and abetting of material support for a terrorist organization and the obstruction of justice charge.
All right, Greg Fox, live for us out there. As the verdict came in, he was inside the courthouse there. We heard Noor Salman is not guilty.
So we're going to be waiting until we get the lawyers to talk. Levi is on the air. Let's take some phone calls here. Levi, good morning. Do you have any comments?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for being fair. Did you hear that they called the woman mentally ill?
They didn't say she was mentally ill. They said that she has low IQ and they have that from her school record because she didn't go to our regular classes but to special ed classes.
Huh. Okay, so there was a question there perhaps, because that's what I thought that was declared.
Yeah, that she's, you know, not your most smart human being, and that she was physically and mentally and psychologically abused by her husband, and the government was not able to connect her to her, for instance, watching websites that he was watching, because most of the websites he was watching was actually about how to find women, and some of it was sexual, you know, type of websites. Plus, they couldn't place both of them near the pulse, and that he picked it that night only.
Well, there's that information, but what was not disclosed was what he said during the shooting, and I think that's vital.
What did he say? He said a lot of things.
Well, that's what's not being told, you know, because, you know, as far as the websites he went through, I haven't looked into that. But what I did see, you know, appeared to shed him in one kind of light, perhaps truthful. But what I think people should question is when the statements he made during the shooting were not disclosed, and people were told that he was pledging allegiance to ISIS.
What I read at that time, depending on my memory, that he said, I'm doing this to avenge what's happening to the Syrians, and the Muslims have been killed.
Syrians?
Syria, yeah. He said, I remember that time, Syria, and what has been going on. But like you said, I'm not sure if the government released any of his conversations, because he had called the police several times.
But that sounds flipped, because, like, if he was concerned about the Syrians, then he wouldn't be pledging allegiance to ISIS. It looks to me like that he had some ties to the Taliban, and you know, because his father was from Afghanistan, and
anything
his father worked undercover with the FBI.
Anything.
This guy worked for the G-Force, which is that private company.
G4,
I think they're the largest employer in the world.
Anything.
Private security.
Anything, Levi, is possible. We're not here really questioning his motive, or, you know, this is for somebody else to figure out. He might not have a motive. But it's the idea that because, you know, you can't self-evaluate your conduct as an FBI with Omar Mateen and his father, you go after the poor wife. I am so grateful
system. I agree. Like, you know, she should have never been charged. But what happens in these cases is it brings a lot of attention from the public. And usually the verdict is different than what would have been otherwise if there wasn't that kind of focus on it. And so it lends credence to...
Okay, I have to interrupt, sorry, because the defense is out. Sorry, Levi. Let's go to the... Okay.
So far, she hasn't said anything. Bob Hazen is who you just heard there, our reporter, asking her, do you think justice was served? And we heard nothing from Pulse nightclub owner Barbara Poma. And as she moves on to her vehicle, likely is going to get out of the federal court area here this morning.
And our reporters who have been covering this trial said that they did see a lot of survivors, also victims' families coming, and who wanted to just be there and around to get a full sense of what exactly happened. You know, even as the days go on, they still have many questions that they want to be answered. And so this trial was seen as a way for them to get their questions answered. What happened? What did she know? How did this all come?
Again, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM, and this is Samar Jarrah. We are going live every now and then trying to get the verdict. We know the verdict of the Noor Salman, the widow of Pulse gunman Omar Mateen. We know the verdict. She is absolutely not guilty. She is free to go. We are waiting for her lawyers, Linda Marino and Charles Swift, to be talking to the media. And if you have any comments, please send them to dj@wmnf.org, dj@wmnf.org. I will keep going back and forth with this feed live that was sent to me by David Bryan. Thank you so much. Les sent me an email saying, once in a while our judicial system works. This time it did. Yes, walhamdulillah, that it did work, and that she had her day at the court, and her trial lawyers tried several times to dismiss the case because of the information that keeps coming out. For instance, they had no idea that the father was working as an informant. They had no idea that the FBI tried to recruit Omar Mateen himself. They had no idea that the FBI knew that neither Omar nor his wife cased the Pulse nightclub, that they did not, or he did not plan to attack the Pulse club. Actually, he wanted to attack some place in Disney, and he thought it was too well armed. Let me go and see if this is the family.
Thorough job of presenting the evidence. What we saw today from the verdict is obviously that they simply believe the defense
more.
It looks
like
we've got some people coming up to the podium now. Let's listen.
Spokesperson representative. This is Al Salman, S-A-L-M-A-N, A-L is his first name. He's the uncle of Noor and has filled in as her father figure after her father passed away. This is his brother, her uncle Sam Salman, S-A-L-M-A-N, Sam, like the regular spelling. This is Susan Adia, A-D-I-E-H. This is her cousin, who she thinks of as her aunt. Al, everybody ready?
California. You said she did not do this.
I know, and I told you, I'm gonna tell you now that she's innocent.
You gotta tell me how this feels.
Okay, I give a chance first. I get you.
We're just trying to trying to be composed here. So on this Good Friday, the family really wants to very first say that we're very sorry for the family members and friends of the 49 victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting, and also the survivors of that horrible attack. Really, that is the top most important thing the family wants you all to know, irregardless of their happiness today at the verdict. We also want to thank the amazing pro bono criminal defense team, Linda Moreno, Charles Swift, and their staff, who have been here and have worked so hard for 2 years for no pay. We really want to thank them and their organizations, their hard work and their passion and their real sincere belief the entire time that she was innocent. I mean, they weren't doing this as a job. They were doing this because they really believed in her innocence.
Okay.
And we want to say thank you to Judge Paul Byron for being fair and taking on this very difficult case. He could have sent it to another district. He must have believed, and clearly he was right, that the citizens of Orange County, Orlando, and the Middle District of Florida could come to a fair and just verdict. We especially want to thank the jurors, all 18 of them, the 12 and the 6 alternates, for sitting through the testimony and sacrificing their lives for the last month to sit on this case. It was very difficult for them, we know. They asked a lot of questions, they went through the evidence, they deliberated for a long time. We are so grateful to them, so grateful for their verdict today. The family is elated. Noor can go home now to her son, Zach, resume her life, and try to pick up the pieces from 2 years in jail. We really hope the best for her future, and we want people to know that she is not guilty. She is innocent. For those people who still think that there's a question, there is no question. A judge has decided. I want to let Al make a few comments.
Well, happy Friday. It's Good Friday. It's Good Friday for everybody. It's Holy Friday for a Muslim and Good Friday for a Christian. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for getting my niece free. And I want to thank the judge, the jury, and our wonderful staff, the attorneys, Swift, Linda, and Fritz. I want to thank them all. And now we're looking forward to take my niece and hire the best therapist for her. I don't know how she's going to make up for the last 2 years.
Al, you were inside the courtroom. You saw these turn around, North Salma turned around after that verdict was read. Everyone was crying. What was the feeling there? It's a lot of emotion.
Feeling, you're going to go back to your son. Now that's the only thing she have in her life, her son. That's all she want.
So, how did you feel when you heard the verdict?
That's the best moment for me.
We are listening to the family. I am awaiting the defense team to talk to us, but let's talk to Barry or maybe...
You saw, and now I came here to tell you, I told you she was innocent. When I
maybe in a few minutes.
She is innocent. We stood by her, and that's what she is. I said that in California. I believe in justice. You know, no matter what day it's going to come up with... The justice, we have a good justice here. We're going to protect our justice, the system we have. As long as we protected the people here, protected our justice, we're fine. We all of us be fine.
I'd like to let Sam and Susie say a few words. No, he doesn't want to. We also don't want to forget Fritz Scheller, the local counsel on the case. He really worked hard on all the motions, and he was amazing in his cross-examination. Do you want to say a few words?
I want to thank everyone, and especially the juries as well, and a judge and our lawyers. And we knew from day one she was innocent. And thank God it came out.
Do you guys know how she'll be released? Is she going to come here?
No, we don't know.
You don't know?
We don't know.
Is she going to get to color Easter eggs like you told us?
We're hoping. We're hoping.
I'm going to put it in Facebook with all the eggs. And it's going to be colored. It's not the black color, the one I saw in the YouTube. It's going to be...
Rainbow.
Wonderful rainbow colors.
Have you gotten tickets yet to go back to California?
Only in courtroom.
We don't want to really talk about travel right now.
We don't know what's going to happen.
We just want to get them.
You are listening to a live feed of the family and representative of the Noor Salman family. Her father passed away and her uncles are standing there and her cousin. My co-host Ahmed Bidir had worked so hard with this case, and he was there every day, and he was the contact person for all the media, all the Intercept articles, and all the interviews that were conducted was arranged by my co-host, but he is out of town and that's why I can't have him. I think Rob talked to him extensively about the case, so thanks Ahmed for believing in Noor Salman. I told him, Ahmed, why do you always get involved with difficult cases, cases that, you know, are not very popular? The way he got involved from day one with Dr. Samuel Aryan, and he says, I can't see these people just go to jail, and he believed in the justice system, and really, I'm so happy, not only that she is free, but I'm happy because I keep saying that no matter what happens, we do have due process in America. We do have a chance, even when the government tries to trap people, especially Muslims and minorities, we still have the right to go to court and take the case to court. And even when somebody is imprisoned, there is always a chance to revive the case. Like there is a new case. I think his name is Adnan. He's accused of murdering his girlfriend. And after being, like the story came on some show and podcast, now the government decided to open the case and look into it. So I always say that no matter what, despite my total criticism of the government, especially when it comes to foreign policy, but we do have a free, independent judicial system that sometimes, if not most of the times, does something right. Let me go to the DJ email, dj@wmf.org. I'm getting a lot of emails. The persecution needs to be investigated and held accountable, plus past cases need to be examined as the dishonest persecution of Noor is probably not the first injustice in persecution, and for wasting taxpayers' money. They just wanted to hold someone in this case, an innocent person, accountable. This is Sarah from Arcadia. Yes, Sarah, I think we should ask for some sort of accountability. The poor girl spent 2 years in prison, and she's innocent, and the FBI knew that she was innocent. They knew 100% they knew that she was innocent, and yet they wasted our tax money. They thought that the American people are stupid, and they thought that the jurors will be biased and racist, but thank God they were not. They deliberated for 2.5 days. They asked for more information. She is totally innocent. Let's listen, and we are still waiting to listen from Linda Moreno, the amazing woman pro bono who helped also free Dr. Sami Al-Alayan and lawyer Charles Swift. And I know they have a lot of people. I'm not sure if our national media is covering it. I know that Fox News, believe it or not, Fox News covered the story because it is critical of the FBI. They interviewed Glenn Greenwald, who is, I think, the director of Intercept. But at least, you know, they covered it only because they had this slant. Let me go again. If you have any comments, DJ at WMNF.org, and let me remind you that next week, inshallah, if traffic is good and everything is fine, I will be talking to an interesting guy from Turkey. He wrote the very interesting books. One is called Muslims Without Extremes, and the other is called The Islamic Jesus. Okay, I have not read that book. I'm going to start reading it tomorrow. So make sure you listen next week. And I am putting all these, like a summary of all our shows on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com/TrueTalk, you can listen to the previous shows, but read a short summary of it. Let me go back and see if we can get Linda Moreno. I'm getting a live feed now.
So angry to hear Noor start telling her stories of how Omar Mateen treated her. She told her aunt that he was abusive, that he only gave her $20 a week to spend. And what Susan said to us was, you know, had the family had any idea that he was treating Noor this way, we would have tried to, you know, help her sooner.
Yeah, I think, and, you know, summarizing some of the comments from Al Salman, Sam Salman, Susie, some of their comments here, there was the Good Friday reference to start off that news conference from Al Salman. He's saying it's a Good Friday for a Christian. They believe
Muslims too.
And Muslims, yeah. And he was recognizing that that they had a lot of faith in the jury to be able to sift through the evidence and to maybe shoot down some of what the government was trying to pass off as the evidence in this case and believe more of the experts and the testimony and evidence that was brought forth by the defense team. Sam Salman, he says, we have justice now, we have justice now. He repeated that several times. Al Salman, again, he says, it's going to be difficult for her to make up for 2 years of her life. She was in custody for 14 months, but Amanda, you know, this was from the morning of Pulse when her husband was still alive inside Pulse before police had gone in, rescued the remaining survivors in there and killed him. She was under scrutiny. She was under the spotlight. And the family, of course, in large measure feels like the jury has lifted that from them today.
You know, Greg, I want to go back to just a moment ago. We were reading a statement from Mayor Dyer saying that he hopes this brings some closure now that this trial is over. But I do have to think very much today about Pulse survivors and families of victims and just what this might be sort of bringing back up for them. Mm-hmm. And we know there's wonderful assistance available for them in the community. There's a wonderful center that can provide counseling services. But I am thinking of them today. And the fact that when Barbara Poma, the owner of the Pulse nightclub, left court today, she chose not to speak to the media, may be a bit of a statement in itself, just that she's probably feeling tremendous emotion and felt that this wasn't the time for her to speak. I know we had been told a few days ago that she would issue some type of a statement when the trial ended, but clearly leaving the courthouse,
I don't think we're going to be able to have Linda Moreno and Charles Swift talk anytime soon before the end of the show, but there is much news coming out from the Arab world. Sadly, 9 Palestinians have been shot dead by Israeli forces, and more than 1,000 people have been wounded. This is like in the past few hours. 9 Palestinians have been shot on Land Day, and 1,000 Palestinians have been wounded by Israeli military forces, and they were shot inside Gaza. It's not like they went out into the what is called the Israeli territories and this is how they were shot. No, they were in this big prison called Gaza, and they were protesting because today in Palestine is called Land Day. It commemorates the murder of Palestinians who were trying to defend their lands in 1976, I think. So a lot of Palestinians went to the borders. The the barbed wire borders and stood on Gaza land and were waving flags. And from the other side, the Israelis shot so far 9 Palestinians and injured more than 1,000. This is going on, and God knows what our media are covering still, Stormy Daniels and whatever. I want to thank you for listening to True Talk, and I want to thank you for supporting WMNF that allows Ahmed and I to have our voices as minorities to be heard on the air, to give you such coverage of things that our mainstream media do not think of covering. So keep supporting WMNF and keep supporting True Talk. This is 88.5 FM, and NPR News is next.